Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, in the New Testament. We're going to look at the very last chapter, Mark chapter number 16. We're just going to look at one verse tonight, and it's been heavy on my heart this last couple of weeks. And so I just thought tonight would be the night we would just talk about this one. Mark chapter number 16, and we're going to just look at verse number 15. So Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. And if you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I just come before you tonight, and I want to thank you so much for the love that you bestow upon each of us. Lord, I'm so thankful for the songs tonight, the songs of promise. Lord, it is sweeter as we grow in you, Lord, that we rely more on you, we trust you more, and Father, that you take care of us in that way. Father, we're thankful for the rain that we have here, but Father, my heart is heavy for those in Houston. I can't even imagine what those folks are going through. Tonight I'm going to go home, the lights are going to be on. I'll have power. I'll sleep in a dry bed. And there are so many tonight, Lord, that just won't know where to go. Everything's been taken from them. They're going to be looking up and asking why. Father, I pray that you answer their prayers. I'm thankful for the teams that are already down there. They're the Southern Baptist Convention of Texas. They've already sent people down that are helping. I know that Franklin Graham and his group is down there as well. Father, I pray that you'll give them great power and help them, Lord, to take care of the needs that they have. And Father, as we look at this one verse tonight, Lord, I just ask you to help us. Just get this verse, Lord, and I pray that it'll just stick under our skin, Lord. Maybe something that will kind of bother us all week long, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If I would ask you to your first thought about missions, what's the first thing that comes to your head? Missions. Share the gospel, okay. Anyone else? Missions. Yeah, yeah. I think of missionaries. I mean, and I'll raise my hand. I'll remember when the missionaries used to come and put their slides up and tell you of all the things that are going on in their work. I miss that part. I miss it when missionaries don't come to churches as much anymore because they're so busy doing the work that they're doing. But I tell you, I miss the opportunities to ask them questions. And I miss the opportunities to look them in the eye and ask them what they need. I really miss that. Well, when I think of missionaries and I think of missions, I have to think of the very first, if you will, example that you and I have of what in the world we're supposed to do as Christians. I'm often approached by folks, and they talk about all the things that we should do as Christians. And some of those things are really great. We should read our Bible daily. That's great, and we should. The Bible tells us that we should study to show ourselves approved. That's great. That's absolutely what we should be doing. The Bible also tells us that we're to go. As I look at the words here that Mark placed down, it's much different than Matthew. Matthew, seeing the same things, covered two different verses. Go ye therefore into all the nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mark gets right down to the nitty-gritty. And I really love that about Mark. He doesn't waste any time. He just gets down to it. And what he says here, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He leaves off all of everything else, but he gets right to those points. So I want to tell you tonight what I'm thinking about what God loves and what God's mind is. I'm not being presumptuous here. I'm not trying to tell you tonight I know exactly what God is thinking and what God has for each one of us, but I will tell you this. I believe that Scripture tells us exactly what God's heart is, and God's heart is missions. Why else would he leave us here? Why else, when somebody comes to the Lord and they bow down on their knees and they ask the Lord to save them, why doesn't he just take them to heaven at that time? There must be something more then. Must be something more to life, something more that you and I as Christians, we could and probably should do. I find that really there's three points that I want to cover tonight, and I really hope I'm going to cover those all, but I want to tell you, first off, I think that God is missions-minded, and I'm going to show you some verses to show that. I believe God is absolutely missions-minded. Number two is, I think that the mission's message is the gospel. Very simple, very easy to do, but very deep. Very simple, but very deep. And last but not all, least, I would say that you and I tonight, we really stand under a mandate from God. So as I look at this, and I think that God is absolutely missions-minded, I think of probably the most popular verse in all the world. Sports teams, and whenever sports teams are playing, somebody's going to have a placard of it, and it's going to be John 3:16, and we all know that verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I cling to that verse. I love that verse because it is the gospel in a nutshell, if you will. It is everything I need to know about God and his love for mankind. He loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. I don't understand that. I'll be honest with you. I have children, and I'm not sure, and I love you all, but I'm not sure I would send my son to die for you. I'm just not sure I would. But God loves man so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And he did it for one reason, that we can have eternal life. That's the whole premise of it. So if I'm going to look at God being missions-minded, then I have to look at God's love is so different than any other kind of love out there. I love my wife. I love her without any kind of doubt whatsoever. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary, and for those of you who follow me on Facebook, I know you're sick and tired of it, and I promise that this is it. There will be no more out there unless my kids get on it again. I promise it's over. I really do. But I'll tell you, I love my wife. I love her with every point of my being, but I'm not sure I love her as much as God loves man. The prophet Jeremiah said these words, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." And he goes on to say, "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God loves us so much with an everlasting love. Now, think about that a minute. We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." We know that verse. But he tells Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Love. Not just a love right now, not just a love in this lifetime, but a love forever and ever and ever. That's how much he loves. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." You see, he wants us to understand that God's love is beyond comprehension. It's not something that we can easily take in. Now, it's simple enough for a child to understand and a child to be drawn and become saved. Simple. But really, it's so deep that we could spend a whole lifetime just trying to understand really, truly what the love of God is in our lives. I also think that when Paul was writing to the book of Romans, he said these words, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God's love is not conditional. Now, I find that to be so interesting because I'll tell you, the way I love people, it's very conditional. I'm sorry. I know I'm a pastor and I shouldn't say those words, but I've got to be honest with you. I'm just as human as anybody else. I like to love somebody, but I want love back, right? I mean, isn't that the way we are? We want to love people and have them love us back. That's why Christ's teaching was so revolutionary when he said, "It's easy to love your neighbor, but love those that hate you or despitefully use you." Now, I got to tell you, that's not Bob Crowder. I love to love people that love me back. It's hard for me to love people who want to despitefully use me, who say bad things against me, who tell lies about me. It's hard for me to really love that person. So when Paul is writing these words and he says that Christ died for us, and that's how important it is, it's important that you and I need to understand here that our behavior really matters. Your and my behavior as Christians today really matters. It's not just enough that we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's not enough that we attend all the activities. It's not enough that we give our fair share. It's not enough that we give money to Lottie Moon or to any of the other offerings that we take up. It's not enough. Because the truth is, God really wants to see us, and he's placed us in a position so other people can see us as well. I don't live where you live. I don't work where you work. I don't have the friends that you have. I don't have the family that you have. But God has placed you in that particular place, and I can tell you, the reason he's placed you there is because he wants you to be a missionary. God loves missions, everything about him. We are the recipients of his plan of love. When I really think about the plan of salvation, when I really think about the Great Commission, particularly if I go to the book of Matthew, and I look at this, we understand that Jesus said these words and then was drawn up into heaven. And he said to his disciples that were there, present at the time, he said, for us to go to all nations, preaching, teaching, baptizing, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He proclaimed that to them. And many times we'll talk about missions and we'll say, yes, that's when missions started, when Jesus said, I want you to go, the church to go, you disciples go. But you know, I actually believe it started before the creation. God loved man so much, and he knew he was going to create them, and he knew they were going to fall, and he still loved us enough that he made a plan that his son would come and die for each one of us. I'm just amazed that he would love us that much. You know, every act and every detail in our life, people are going to watch and look at. I'm sometimes amazed what people remember about me. The good and the bad. I'm amazed at what they remember. Because sometimes my memory is not the same as their memory. Their memory being me may be totally different than mine. I may have a very good outlook on my life and saying, yeah, I've lived a pretty good life. But I can tell you, I can find plenty of people who would say, but Bob, you let me down here. Or Bob, you didn't do this. And of course, that is the deceiver, Satan, the devil, who is pronouncing that in people's ears and people's eyes. Once I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, all my sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west. And the only person who remembers those is Satan and us. Because God says, I will remember them no more. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, I feel like taking off my coat and running up and down here a little bit. I mean, that's pretty exciting stuff. But I've been cautioned because they're streaming tonight. So I've been cautioned to kind of stay right here just... Linda says I have to be on my best behavior. Okay. They're giving me the thumbs down back there. Okay. So God provides a savior for you and I. And so therefore, if in fact we understand that God is missions minded, then there must be a mission message, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have Sunday school classes here that are designed to be able to open up scriptures and teach us how to live and what God really has and desire for you and I. I love it that God had a plan that I could hold this in my hand and I know from point A to point Z that this is what God has for me. His word is right here. His truths are so clear. We have everything we need right here to be able to tell us what we need to do, as well as what God expects us to do, as well as what is approved by God in our life. So if God is missions-minded, and the missions message is the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it seems to me that there is one part here that maybe perhaps we're not following very well. And that is, I believe there's a missions mandate to every Christian. I believe you and I are not let off the hook just because that maybe we're a little bit older, a little bit younger. Maybe we have education, maybe we don't. Maybe I'm a Sunday school teacher, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm called a pastor, maybe I'm called to sit in a choir, or maybe I'm just called to sit in a pew. The truth of the matter is, everybody has the same mandate. The mandate wasn't just given to the disciples and not just given to them specifically, but it was given to them to spread so that they could spread it to the church, and the church then is supposed to spread that message out over and over again. How did the message of Jesus Christ go throughout the whole world? It's because people preached the message and they told the gospel message of Jesus Christ and people got saved. How is it that the Southern Baptists have over 5,000 missionaries, and these 5,000 missionaries are going throughout the world, and here in the United States, in Canada, in South America, they're all over everywhere, and how are they there? It's because you and I have decided that the missions mandate, part of that is, I'm going to give. And we have a great offering that's coming up here in just a few months, and we're going to start taking this offering, and it'll be our offering for the cooperative program. For us to be able to help missionaries to remain on the field. But I can tell you, 5,000 sounds wonderful, but wouldn't it be great if it was 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000 or 10,000? Wouldn't it be great if we as church decided that, you know what, we're going to buckle down, we're going to open up our wallets, and this year we're really going to give to missions like nothing else. Because God is missions-minded, and God has given us the mission message, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I can't go, if I literally can't go to London, and I literally can't go to Paris, and I literally can't go to these other places, if I literally can't go down on the border towns and preach the gospel, if I'm not called to do that, then I know there's something else I'm called to do, and that is send. If I can't go, then I must send. God loves missions. Everything about Him and all of the missions messages that we have are all compiled together. Say one thing, for God so loved the world, go ye. For God so loved the world, you be a part of that. For God so loved the world that you and I should take the next step. If I can't go, I should send. And how do I send today? I send by opening up my wallet and giving and making sure that other people can hear the gospel message. Every member should be involved. Every member. Nobody is given off time. Nobody has said, and God doesn't say, okay, you don't have to give to a cooperative program. You don't have to give to missions. You don't have to support our church. You don't have to do that. Well, I can tell you that that is unbiblical. The biblical example really is so simple. In the Old Testament, we're taught about the tithe. The tithe is 10%. Well, in the New Testament, it's all God's. Let that sink in just a minute. In the New Testament, Jesus' teaching, it's all God's. And He's going to loan it back to us. What a great deal that is. So what do I want to do for Him then? If God says, go ye therefore, and I cannot literally go, if God has not called me to go to London or Paris or Uruguay or other places around the world, then there is one thing that I absolutely can do. And it really is a mandate from God. Send. 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 There's a great passage, and I'd like everybody, I think, to turn to it. Why don't we do that? I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter number 1. And this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. Actually, he's writing to all the Christians, that brethren that are in Rome. And he has this really great passage, and it really highlights exactly what he expects out of the Christians in Rome. Starting in verses number 14. Now, you've heard this before. You may even have it outlined in your Bible, underlined. I know I do. It's just one of those passages that when I read it, I become so convicted, I almost have to close it and go do something. Because it's convicting. He says here, I am debtor to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as it's in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Let me just stop here just for a second. He was going to Rome knowing he was never going to leave Rome. But his heart was so filled with preaching the gospel, he said, I must go to Rome, and that's where he went. So he continues on and says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can I ask you tonight, without a raise of hands, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? He says, he's not. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is power behind salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. If God loves missions, and he's missions-minded, if God has given us the missions message, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now he's given you and I the missions mandate, go ye therefore and to all the world and preach and teach, if he's given that to us, do we have any room to say no? I believe the answer is no. Do you know there's people all around you that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? People you work with, your brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, family members, next door neighbors, the people you buy from, the waitress at the restaurant that you go to, they all need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I say, God has chosen you to deliver that message. You. Remember Moses said, well, do you really want me to speak to him? Because I got to be honest with you, I'm not a very good speaker. God says, yeah, I want you. Peter preached such great messages, and yet at a time, he even rejected Christ. But God still wanted him. He said, I need you. I want you to do this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So what is the power? It is the gospel message. Jesus Christ came to this world, God on earth, Emmanuel. Lived a perfect life. He was then offered up as an offering that only God would accept. He died on a cross, horrible death. He was buried, and 3 days later, just as the prophecies tell, rose again. Rose again and gave the message, go ye therefore to all nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always. So when the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, talk to that person, speak to that person, stop on the side of the road and help that person change their tire, talk to them about me, guess what? Jesus says, I am with you always. And if God the Father says, I have a heart for missions, and if God the Father says, I have a message of missions, and if God the Father says, and I have a mandate for each one of us, then how can we not follow through? How can we not tell others about Jesus Christ? How can we hold back? Every member is involved. I love it here, going back to Mark. He says these words, go ye. Now that's old King James. Your translation probably says, get a going. Now, that may be Bob's loose translation, but basically, move. Do it. Don't slack off. How wonderful it was this morning when we saw a baptism of a person who just professed and gave their life to Christ. How wonderful was that? Wouldn't it be great to see that every day? Every day? You say, well, wait a minute, Bob. We only do that on Sundays. No. The early church did it every day. Because there were so many that were hearing the message of Christ. Because people were going and telling and doing. Every man is to be evangelized. And guess what? It's not our decision, it's his. Not every person is going to accept. But we're to proclaim the message to every living creature. That's what God has called us to do. Go ye, therefore, and to all nations. He says here, go ye into all the world. Well, I can tell you that Linda and I, while we do some traveling, I got to be honest with you, I can't go everywhere. I can't go to Australia. I can't go to New Zealand. I can't go to China. I can't go to India. I can't go to those places. And yet they want somebody there to proclaim the gospel. Every day I have 10 to 15 people that are in India asking me to come and just preach to us, come. And I tell you, my heart breaks. How can I go? I can't go to every place. But God certainly has given us a message in a way through the Southern Baptist Convention of sending out missionaries in our name and in our place. Go ye therefore, go ye into all the world, and then preach the gospel. You and I have nothing else. We have nothing we can hold up. There's no excuse that we can give for not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. So, I would say, nothing else needs to be said. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to first off stand here and to deliver this message that you've given me. And Father, I'm so guilty of many times when I should proclaim your name, and Father, I find myself maybe busy. Maybe I'm pushing a shopping cart and you nudge me to talk to a person and I don't. Filling up gas at a gas station, the person's on the other side of the pump. Father, I'm just guilty. But I know that that's your proclamation, that's your mandate for us. It's your mandate to me to proclaim your word to all mankind. I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have in this church. I'm thankful for the testimony that this church has. I'm thankful for those that are here tonight, Lord, so faithful. Rains are falling and still they come. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, I pray now that as we get ready to go into this week, and it's going to be a rainy week off and on, and Lord, there's going to be plenty of opportunities, Lord, for us to just to go into our own shell. Father, will you remind us just how much you love missions this week? May it be heavy on our hearts and our souls that you love missions, and you want us to love missions as well. Father, I ask now as we get ready to leave and depart, I say, Lord, prepare our hearts for those that you already have in mind for us to speak to. Give us a strength. And let us say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. Lord, I ask these things in thy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.